to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hello, welcome to church. Thank you for being here today. It's good to see so many wonderful faces. You are incredible. Just have a look around you. Have a look down your aisle. Just smile at someone. Let them know that you're happy to be here, or you're pretending to be happy to be here, and that you're happy they're here, or you're pretending to be happy that they're here. Love this church community. Well, what a time of life to live in, right? What a time to live in the history of society. There's so much to be thankful for. There's so many things in my life, in our life, to be thankful to God for. And there's so many challenges. There's a little thing called a pandemic that's happening. There's financial strain and pressures. There's family pressures. We have a whole bunch of confusion around identity today. The lines of what is right and wrong are a bit blurred. We have anxiety levels rising. We have suicide rates rising. We have depression rates rising. It's an important time in history for men and women of faith to be living in. Because what this society needs are you and I, men and women of faith, to stand strong, to bring hope, to be light, to bring love, to say, yeah, circumstances are a bit shaky at the moment. They're changing. They're constantly changing. Yeah, emotions and feelings are kind of up and down and changing at the moment. Things around us are swirling, but there's one thing that's not changing. His name is Jesus, and he's still on the throne, and he's still King of Kings. He's in control. He has the final word, and our society needs men and women like you to profess that, to declare that, and to live that on this planet today. But what I've found in my endeavors to try to be that person of faith through the challenges is things get in the way. Things like fear. Fear grip me. Things like doubt. I get overwhelmed and overcome by doubt at times. And then this desire for self-preservation, to look after myself, to be contained, to be safe, to be secure. These three things stand in the way at times for me and for us to be those men and women of faith, right? Well, I want to encourage us by the word today that we can overcome these things and we can be the men and women of faith that this world needs today. And so 2 Kings chapter 6. And so we have the people of Israel, and they're facing a few little challenges. It's the mid-800s BC, and the kingdom of the people of God has split into two kingdoms. We have the northern kingdom of Israel. The capital is Samaria, and this is our focus for this scripture. And these people have had a bad run of it. They have had bad king after bad king. The leadership, the rotten leadership, has spread down through the people. There's no faith in the leadership. There's no sense of unity. And these guys are looking over their shoulders because everybody around them, all the other people groups, they know they're weak. And they're looking for a way to defeat them. And we have here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. The king of Aram, the Aramaeans, were a people group northeast of the northern kingdom of Israel. And these guys didn't necessarily have much angst towards the Israelites. There was an uneasy kind of truce between them a lot of the time. Sometimes they were allies. But for some reason right now, the king of Aram said, that's it. I see a weakness. We're going to take it on. We're going to take these people on. And so he decides to go to war. And so the king of Aram makes all these plans of how they're going to take Samaria, how they're going to take Israel, take the land. But there's a prophet, and his name is Elisha. And he hears from the Lord. And he hears, he gets the inside running on all the plans that the king of Aram has to take Israel. And he keeps relaying it to the king of Israel. He keeps telling them, be on guard here, be prepared there. And the king of Aram gets so frustrated, he gets so ticked off. He basically is like, to all of his warriors, he's like, are you working for the Israelites? Are you trying to thwart me? Are you trying to undermine me? And they're like, no, it's not us, and it's Elisha. And so they're like, okay, we're going to take Elisha out. And so the king of Aram, he finds out where Elisha is. And Elisha is in a city called Dotham. And so we pick up the story here in verse 14. He sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and they surrounded their city. They are going to take out Elisha. Verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Listen to his response. Oh no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asks. What shall we do? In that moment, fear gripped him. He saw circumstances. He saw all these people around him, surrounding him, about to attack. And fear gripped him. What are we going to do? Have you asked that question lately in the last 18 months? Have you faced a situation or a circumstance and you're looking at it? You're looking at it in with human eyes and you're saying, what are we going to do here? Is there a circumstance in our finances where we're looking at our finances? We're looking at the budget. We're looking at our bank balance and it's not adding up. What are we going to do? Have you looked at a family situation, a parenting situation, and there's some challenges there, and you're looking at it and you're going, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're looking at your future and it feels uncertain, and you're looking at it and you're going, oh no, what are we going to do? And it could be a realized fear, it could be a perceived fear. But fear can grip us and it can paralyze us and it can cause us to stay in a place of containment. But I love in verse 16 what Elisha says, his response to, oh no, my Lord, what are we going to do? His response is, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha prayed, open the servant's eyes, help him to see, not just what is physically in front of him, but help him to see, God, what you see. Help him to see your provision. And he prayed, as he prayed that the servant looked and he saw God's provision. He saw God come through, and God did come through. He did come through in this situation. The antidote to fear, the thing that would counteract fear in this season, for us to be able to be those men and women of faith, the antidote to fear is that we would open our eyes. Open our eyes to see what God sees. And we do that through prayer. Elisha prayed, open his eyes. And so that situation that you and I are facing, that situation in our marriage, in our parenting, in our finances, with our study, with our future, with our anxiety, our mental health, with that situation we're facing, let us be people who would pray that prayer. God, open my eyes that I would see more than just what my natural eyes can see. Help me to be able to see your hand upon me, your hand working. You are working, you are moving, and you are bringing a great result. I had a moment a few weeks back. My middle child, Beth, and I had the opportunity to go to Queensland a few weeks back at the end of my annual leave, and we're going to head to National Conference. I was the only WA representative at national conference because no one else could go. We got over a little bit earlier so I could spend some time with my brother and his family. Hadn't seen them for over a year. They've moved over to Queensland, and Noosa is just beautiful. I was just tempted a little bit. Anyone been to Noosa? Oh my goodness. It is nice. And so we got there and we spent a few days checking out the sites, and then we heard news that WA was going into lockdown. And we were enemy number one. I felt like a convict on the run. Oh, what does this mean for me? And it's so strange what your mind does. I'd already spent a couple of days out in public doing all the touristy things in Noosa, and then we hear about this lockdown and because there's COVID cases in WA, and fear begins to grip me. What if you've got COVID and you've just infected all of Noosa? We laugh. But I was over in a foreign place, and I was just starting to lose grip a little bit of sanity. I was starting to fear, okay, so are we stuck here? I've got my daughter with me. Are we stuck in Queensland? How long are we going to be stuck here for? Are we going to be able to get to National Conference? And this anxiety began to rise in me. I'm just being real honest with you. Anxiety isn't something that's common for me. But for some reason in this situation, the anxiety just really rose. This fear, this perceived fear of what was going to happen rose up. We worked out that, I hadn't been to any of the exposure sites. Worked out that we couldn't get a test until the Tuesday because of the long weekend. And people do things a little bit slower over in Queensland. But that even just heightened my fear. That just heightened my anxiety because there was no result. There was no finality. There was no certainty of what was going to happen going forward. And so I'm so thankful that at the beginning of this year, God put in my heart to start this time of devotion with reading the word and writing a prayer in my journal and then reading that prayer out. And usually I'm not as good at and consistent at keeping it going during my annual leave, but for some reason I did. And this is the reason. I kept doing it whilst I was over in Queensland. I kept every morning waking up and reading the word and then writing this journal entry prayer and then reading this prayer out. And I just want to take you into some of my journal entries over those days. On the Sunday, the 25th of the 4th, I come to you. I don't know what the next week looks like, and that concerns me. Everything can shift, but you remain. I choose to remain in you. That was just a little bit of faith I was hanging on to. Monday, the 26th, we still hadn't got a test or anything like that. Strange and uncertain times. I'm a little anxious. Hopefully get tested and get the result and be able to get to some of the conference. God, I ask that you make a way forward. That means we get to conference and we get home safely. Tuesday the 27th. This is the morning we're about to get our test. Thank you for hearing my prayers yesterday. We were able to book a test. Thank you for alleviating my anxious thoughts. Thank you for providing a pathway forward. You're good. You're kind. I pray for a supernatural turnaround of the results, Jesus. Apparently, I was told along the lines of things that people, Queensland do things differently, up to 3 days to get the result back. Could be. So I'm thinking, if I get the test on Tuesday, that's all of conference wiped out. So we're praying for a supernatural turnaround of the results. May it be less than 24 hours. I pray that Beth and I will be able to get to conference and be impacted, refreshed, empowered. And then Wednesday, the 28th. So we prayed a prayer, Beth and I, before she went to bed on Tuesday night. We'd had the test. We're in isolation. We're waiting for the results. I said, we prayed that I would wake up to text messages with the negative result and we'd be able to go to the conference. 28th. There's a way through and it's your way. Show me your way, Lord. I want to thank you for your gracious kindness to Beth and I over this trip. Thank you for answering my prayers yesterday and making a way for us to be able to get to conference. It was a 16-hour turnaround. God came through. And it was amazing how, as I prayed, as I read the word and prayed over those days, you can see kind of, at the start it sounded shaky. It sounded like, oh, I don't know how we're going to go here. I'm going to be on the run to this place where I was confident because God began to open my eyes. He began to help me see what only He sees. And He showed me a way through. And so the antidote to fear, when fear is gripping us in this season, for you and I to be men and women of faith, pray that prayer, open my eyes, help me to see that situation with your eyes. And so that challenge was thwarted for the people of Israel. But who knows that when one challenge is dealt with, another challenge comes. And so we read in verse 24, sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. Wasn't just a few horses, wasn't just a few soldiers. It was the whole army marching up and laying siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. Talk about challenges, right? Talk about challenges. A siege, a famine. The famine got so bad that donkeys' heads were being sold for like 20 Bitcoin. Adrian? People were devastated. It was devastating what was happening. The challenge was so harsh. Even to the point when the king's walking along the wall one day of Samaria, and he bumps into a woman, and basically what this woman has done, she was talked into killing her own child so they could eat it. That's how desperate they were. And the king, this king's not a godly man. He's not a godly king whatsoever. But he hears this and he gets so mad, he gets so frustrated, he gets so angry at this situation that his city of Samaria, totally surrounded, famine's just destroying the people. And what does he do? He blames God and he blames Elisha. He's like, where's Elisha? I'm going to get this guy. And so he goes to Elisha's house. Elisha, of course, he knows he's coming. And we pick it up in verse 33. Whilst he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. A messenger came before the king. And the king said to Elisha, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? We move from a servant saying, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? To a king saying, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? What's happening in your world that you've been waiting for? And you're just at the point now where you're like, I don't know if I can wait for God anymore. I don't know if I've got it in me, God. That healing I've been praying for, I've been believing for, how much longer do I need to wait, God? Are you really for me? Do you actually really care? That answer, I need that answer to prayer, God. I've been praying and I haven't had an answer. There's been no clarity. How much longer do I need to wait, Lord? That family situation, that financial situation, how much longer do I need to wait, God? We've all prayed that prayer. Is God really for us? Does God really care? Yes, He does. Because when doubt overcomes, God can come through. In chapter 7, verse 1, this is Elisha, the prophet's response. Hear the word of the Lord. We go from open your eyes to hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In other words, hear the word of the Lord. Yes, you've been waiting. Why should you wait any longer? Because God's coming through. Because the answer is coming. Because the breakthrough is coming. Because God is faithful. God is coming through. Hear the word of the Lord. And so that situation that we're facing, that we've been waiting for, what's God spoken about it? Hear the word of the Lord. What's God said? What's God said in the Word? I remember when Karen and I were on our 9-year journey of renting a house, but believing that God wanted us to get back into the housing market. And then there would be this frustration. You know, we'd made a decision. We were debt-free and we were sowing significant finances into our Beyond Missions campaign. But there was still this desire in our hearts to own our own home again. And I remember walking, we were living in Karrinup. I remember walking along the coast and praying. And, you know, you walk along the coast and you're praying and you're looking up and you're seeing all these mansions. Probably the wrong place to be praying. You're like, oh, that's a nice house. God. And scriptures got quickened to me. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Colossians 3:1, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. These scriptures I held on to. I heard the word of the Lord and it kept me going. And you guys know the story. We've been in our house in Woodvale for over 2 years now. It's incredible. What is God speaking? What is he speaking through his word to you about that situation? Hear the word of the Lord. And you might say, I'm not hearing anything. God's not speaking to me. Let's just do some maths here. Maybe it's not maths, but some probability. If we're not hearing from God, it's either something wrong with God. God's not quite great at communicating. It's either that, or open our ears, God. Open our ears, God, that we may hear the word of the Lord. Maybe we're just on the run all the time and we throw up these little prayers and we don't hear from God. And God's kind of saying, stop, take some more time. Stop to listen. Maybe there's a prophetic word or a scripture that God has brought to our attention years and years ago. And it's just a matter of stopping and thinking. And he wants to bring that back to our attention to be able to stand on and to be able to declare in that situation that we're facing. Maybe it's a word from our pastor. Pastor Jace doesn't just throw these kind of words out willy-nilly. He doesn't say it's going to be your best year in the Bible because, yeah, that sounds good. I want people to like me. You're just awesome. You're the best. You can do whatever you want. He hears from God and he declares it. It's going to be your best year in the Bible. Take a hold of that. Declare it. Believing for an upward curve. Pastor Jason said that as well. Believe it. Declare it in that situation, an upward curve. Maybe it's in a song that we've sung that God can speak to us. Maybe we've got uncertainty and we're doubting whether God's really got our kids and we're fearful about our kids' future. We can take a hold of a line from the blessing. May his favor be upon you for 1,000 generations and your family and your children. And their children and their children and their children. I don't know how long you keep going. Take a hold of that. God's got your children. God's got your kids. How much longer can you wait for God? You can wait longer because God's breakthrough is coming. God is coming through. He will make a way. He will make a way. And the siege lifts for the people of Israel. The siege lifts. And then we come to 4 lepers. The part of the story where there are 4 lepers and they're sitting at the gate of Samaria. And they haven't heard this word from Elisha that tomorrow the siege is going to lift and it's all going to be good and there's going to be food coming. They haven't heard that quite yet. And they're sitting here and it's dark. The next day, the breakthrough is coming. They're sitting here and they're going, if we stay here, we're dead. If we go into Samaria, we're dead. If we go out to the Aramaeans, we're dead. Let's just go out to the Aramaeans. And so they go out. And in the meantime, before they get to the camp of the Aramaeans, God has moved. God has provided. And these Aramaeans, they have set up shop and they're about to have some food and have a good old time because they know that they've almost won this battle. And all of a sudden they hear the sound of a mighty army. And they hear this sound and they fear grips them. And all of a sudden they think that the Israelites have been able to recruit the Hittites and the Egyptian armies, and they're coming and they're going to take out the Aramaeans. And so they are gripped by fear and they jump up and they bolt. They leave everything, tents, food, everything, gold, silver. They leave everything. And so these four lepers, they idle up to the camp thinking we're done. And we pick up the story in verse 8 of chapter 7. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They had a good old time. They returned and entered another tent, took some things from it and hid them also. These men had nothing, had been given nothing. No one was looking out for them. All of a sudden saw an opportunity and took it. And what can happen sometimes for you and I when we are living this life and we are facing challenges is we can get into this self-preservation. No one's done anything for me. No one's standing for me. No one's helping me out. And we can get into this self-preservation mode where we think that if we can just contain and keep things secure for us and our family, then we'll be okay. And that might sound good. But self-preservation is not biblical. Self-preservation certainly isn't faith-filled. Self-preservation didn't get the gospel to you and I. We are the benefit of the gospel coming to you and I, not because someone thought, I'll keep safe and secure and contained. The gospel came to you and I because someone said, stuff the security and the comfort. I'm going to step out. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to bring the gospel wherever I go. We are the benefits of faith-filled people, not of people living in self-preservation. And the time is now for you and I. Self-preservation could be something that you and I have slipped into. I'm just going to look after myself. Where's God in this? I've just got to control that part. Isn't God in control? It's time for the men and women of faith of this church to rise out of self-preservation and to take a hold of what God has given us and to give it out there. Even these lepers came to their senses. As self-preservation kicked in and they were enjoying themselves, we get to verse 9. Then they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news. Good news should be shared, right? This is a day of good news and we're keeping it for ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them. We went into the Aramaean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were. Verse 11, the gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The siege has been lifted. God has come through. Provision is coming. The antidote to self-preservation is to give hope. Is to give hope. Is to stop and is to look around and is to say, who is hurting? Who needs help? Who needs hope? And that is our call as people of faith. That is our call as Christians. That we are called to that. We are called to not keep things to ourselves. And yeah, we might be facing some challenging times, but we go to bed every night with a sense of hope. We go to bed every night with a sense of God loving us, a sense of being forgiven, the slate's wiped clean. We go to bed every night with a sense that God has our eternity sealed. There's people out there that don't do that. They don't get that opportunity. And so you and I, we have a responsibility, a burden. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit to give hope, and we have an eternal hope that is not flimsy. Oh, it'll be all right. Okay, sarah, sarah. No, we have a hope that is strong. We have a hope like an anchor, and His name is Jesus. The pandemic hasn't changed the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on a cross and He rose from the grave. Nothing can change that fact, that reality. And so it's you and I. We don't stand on how we're feeling during a pandemic. We don't stand on the circumstances going right for us. What we stand on is the hope of Jesus Christ. Let's give it. Let's give that hope. And that's what Beyond is all about. This Beyond season that we're about to start this Wednesday and happening, rolling over the next couple of Sundays, we have an opportunity to again come out of a self-preservation mode and to say, I'm going to be someone who's going to be counted in this season. I'm going to be someone who's counted. I'm going to be someone who gives hope. Yeah, everything's not perfect for me. Things aren't going really awesome for me. But I refuse to be someone who is just living in self-preservation mode. I'm going to give. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go. I'm going to believe that my suburbs are going to be transformed for Jesus. I'm going to believe that the global missions efforts that we sow into are going to be transformed. I'm going to believe that the regional areas of this state are going to be turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Let's be people who give hope. And that's what Beyond's all about. Essentially, Beyond is taking what God has already given us and giving it. And giving it, not keeping it to ourselves, but giving it. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of worship now. And standing before me, men and women of faith, anyone agreeing with me? I know the way you've got up out of your chair probably belies that a little bit. Men and women of faith, fear will not grip you. Doubt will not overwhelm you. Self-preservation will not contain you. You are men and women of faith. And so this whole front area is going to be open as we have this time of worship. I want you to, if you feel like fear and doubt and self-preservation have been a reality for you over the last 18 months, and today you want to take a stand and say, by faith, that's not going to be my future. Come down the front. And as we sing and as we worship, make that declaration. I'm a man, a woman of faith. I'm standing strong. I'm overcoming every circumstance, every hurdle, and I'm going to count. I'm going to make this count. Why don't we sing? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.